We thank God for his mercies. We thank God for the saints here. We thank God for your pastor. Such great hospitality. Got me in a good room. Amen. And good food and good fellowship. And when you got all of those things, that's all you need. Amen. We thought that we were going another direction, but we're still feeling led to work on this James 3rd chapter. How about that? I hope you're not tired of it, but we feel God has something for us here, and we want to get it.
Man.
So we need your prayers. As we said, revival is a joint effort.
True.
You got to pray, and I got to pray. Amen. We need God to revive us.
Right.
To energize us. Amen. To renew us. Amen. We need God to do it. We can't do it.
True.
Amen. And we thank God for what he has done. He's been so good to us. We're going to start at that third chapter of James, 17 verses.
But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
But the wisdom that is from above is first pure,
true,
then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated.
Man.
If God permit, we like to talk about tonight, am I easily or easy to be entreated? We thank God for the wisdom that is from above and what God has done for our heart. Amen, in that he has saved us and delivered us from a miserable life of sin and shame. Amen, we thank God because we know it's God that has done this. We could not do it. We had to, couldn't help it. We just couldn't help but sin.
Right.
We couldn't help but lie. We couldn't help but do wrong. But thank God, to many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
True.
And when God saved us, he gave us power.
True.
Amen. We were able to say no to sin, no to the devil that had us bound, and yes to the will of God. The scripture says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should fulfill the lust thereof.
True.
Amen. And I thank God I am reigning in this life through Christ Jesus. Amen. The song says, oh, what grace and high promotion that in Jesus I should be raised from sin to royal honor. Even reigning, Lord.
True.
With thee. Do you know that's a privilege? Amen. Do you know that's a privilege and a blessing? So many people are bound down in sin. They're bound and they're under the yoke and it's heavy and they want to get free, but they don't know how.
True. True.
But I thank God he set me free. Amen. He loosed the bonds that had me bound.
Man.
Amen. And helped me and delivered me and taught me how to live saved. And you know, that's the bottom line here. I have to be taught how to live a holy life. See, it's one thing to get saved. It's an entirely different thing to stay saved.
Try.
Many people get saved, but they don't stay saved because they aren't under the right teaching.
True.
He said, I'll give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.
True.
We need a good pastor.
Right.
I know you said, boy, he sure talks about pastors. But they are very important in our
True.
Life. Just like sheep need a good shepherd.
Right.
Amen. We need a good pastor. We need a good shepherd. Amen. You can't rise above your teaching. That's what I was
True.
Taught. You are what you eat. You are what you're taught. And if we look in that third chapter, 1 Corinthians, it lets us know, Paul said, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation.
Right.
Now you take heed, ministers, how you build thereupon.
True.
For no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid.
True.
And he styles the church as a building.
Right.
And we preachers are workmen or carpenters, as it were.
Right.
We got a responsibility.
You're right.
To build in such a way to perfect the saints.
That's right.
And my message and my teaching will determine what type of substance you will be.
True.
To enable you to stand the test and trials of life.
Right.
We need a good pastor.
Right.
What are you talking about? He says some are wood, hay, and stubble. Mm-hmm. He compares people to wood, hay, and stubble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Precious stones, silver, and gold.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I believe y'all in the gold business here.
Amen.
Now don't prove me wrong, but from what I've been seeing here, I would say you're in a gold business. Why? Because when that gold get in the fire, he says, for every man's work is going to be tried.
True.
Of what sort it is. And if it don't abide the fire, it's going to be lost.
Try.
But we got to go that same way, brother.
True.
And we're going to be tried by fire too. But when you are made of gold, that substance can take the heat.
True.
It can take the fire.
Right.
You know that song says, in the fiery furnace.
Yep, yep.
Father, let me stay.
Yes.
Precious gold refining.
Purge the dross away. Away. Right.
Till thy glorious image is reflected there. Until the costly jewels of thy grace I wear. Is that your testimony? Mm-hmm. Well, when you are that type of substance, it's because you've been getting some good teaching.
True.
From your pastor. And not just because you've been getting it, you're taking it in. I think someone said yesterday, Lord, help us not to be just hearers of the word, but doers.
Right.
Because we can have good teaching and don't apply it.
Right.
Don't use it. And let it fall on deaf ears.
True.
But if we apply this teaching, it will perfect us.
Absolutely.
So we want to talk a little bit about that tonight.
True.
Am I easily to be entreated? To entreat is to try very hard to persuade someone to do something. Mm-hmm. To appeal, to request, to be approachable. When you're easily being entreated, you're leadable.
Try it.
You're teachable. I'm going to quote from John Wesley Naylor. I got a few of his quotes. It says, what does it mean to be easily entreated? It means to be kind, just, and reasonable,
mm-hmm.
and self-sacrificing in one's attitude towards others. Now, whether we want to deal with problems or not, we just have to as pastors, because they arise. When you deal with people, problems come.
Right.
Even save people. You know, there was a problem in the early church, the waiting of tables.
Mm-hmm.
He said, choose ye men.
Right.
Full of the Holy Ghost. And wisdom. So they can handle the problems.
Right.
So the ministry can give themselves over to the word of God. And prayer and fasting. Somebody got to deal with it. But then, sometimes there's problems that we have to deal with.
Right.
Jethro gave Moses great instruction.
Try.
Because he was about worn out.
Right.
A good pastor has such a burden and he wants to try to do it all, but it's good to have some helpers.
True.
And Jethro came and gave him some good instruction.
That's right.
He said, you need to get leaders of hundreds, thousands, etc. Mm-hmm. 10, you know the story, to help you with the little problems.
That's right.
And the huge problems, bring them to me. Bring them to you. Because problems are going to happen. True. People got concerns. Inevitable. People got issues.
Right, inevitable.
But how you deal with the problem, that's the thing. In a marriage, you're going to have problems. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see everything. That beautiful Prince Charming and sweet Snow White, as it were. Mm-hmm. When you start living together, you're going to wonder if he turned into a frog. Mm-hmm. And is this the wicked witch with the apple? Why? Because you got problems. But don't let those problems affect your love for your companion.
Right.
That's still the same person. You was in the aisle and the preacher stood over you and you said, I do. Right. That's the way my wife did. She said, I do. They got on tape. I said, ooh, boy, you really was eager. Hey, but that's the same bride.
Right.
Same groom. But see, the devil want to get those problems in there and start making you look at them differently.
It's true.
Keep your issues and disagreements and problems separate from your love. It's a challenge, but it's doable. If we take in the word of God, keep that separate. If you can't reach an agreement, put it on the altar, submit it.
Try it.
Somebody got to humble themselves and zip it.
Right, right.
And let God work it out. Because problems is a way of life. We're going to always have problems.
That's right.
Church of God marriage is not no fairy tale where you go away happily into the sunset. You got to work at this thing.
Try.
It is a battle. The devil don't care how he can get in, as long as he get in. At work, at home, in the church, with the children, the devil is walking about as a roaring lion seeking how he may devour.
Right.
He's looking for an opportunity. Let's not give him one.
Right. True.
So I have to ask God to help me that no matter what the issue is, to stay kind. To stay just.
Right.
Come on, we got to be fair. Reasonable. And self-sacrificing.
Yes.
Sometimes we got to sacrifice for peace. Now, you know that scripture we've been quoting, follow peace with all men.
And holiness.
And holiness without no man
shall see the Lord.
Shall see the Lord.
That's right.
People are looking on us. We are made a gazing stock.
That's right.
We are a spectacle unto angels and to men. People are looking at us.
That's right.
And the only Christ they will see is the Christ in you.
Right.
That's an awesome responsibility, but it's doable if you take in the teaching. And if you're not too proud to ask for help, because the word of God still says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety.
Right. True.
Now, this is one of my favorite scriptures, 1 Corinthians 26 through 31. I don't know, I might start teaching off that. I know I'm supposed to be running a revival, but I just want to do what the Lord tells me to do.
1 Corinthians, what was that?
1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31, and you'll find I'm going over some of the same scriptures. So we're going to say moreover, like Paul said. Bear with me, just moreover. Sometimes we got to go through some things two or three times before it sink in. That's why I ain't telling you all nothing new. Y'all heard all this stuff before. Most evangelists come, they just reiterate what your pastor been saying. They just come from a different direction. But it's the same truth.
True, true.
Same truth he been preaching.
True.
And then some of you all been fooling around and playing around and not measuring up, so he had me to come here and put a little fire behind what he been telling you already.
Right.
And I'm going to burn you up if the Lord permit me.
Right.
Because you should have been measured up. So since he sent me here to put some fire behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's start.
For you see your calling, brethren.
You see your calling, brother.
How then not many wise men after the flesh?
And I know I read this, but this just helps me to see myself. Mm-hmm. I see my calling.
Right.
Not many what?
Wise men after the flesh.
God ain't thinking about my wisdom.
Right.
Or what I think. Or how I want to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
God don't need me.
No.
If we just get self out of the way.
Try.
And stay humble so God can help us.
True.
And to seek his direction and guidance. Boy, that's half the battle.
Try.
What did he say now? You see your calling, brethren.
Not many mighty.
Not many wise are called.
Not many mighty.
God didn't call you because you was wise.
Right.
Not many what?
Mighty.
He didn't call you because you can handle everything. You so mighty, you so strong.
Not many noble are called.
Not you know, some of us are so noble and perfect. We never can be accountable for anything we do because we really didn't do anything wrong. And we have a way of reasoning out why we did the wrong thing and to turn it around and make it seem like we didn't really do nothing wrong.
Right.
I was a victim.
I've seen that, right. True.
Not many noble are called.
Mm-hmm. But God has chosen the foolish thing of the world to confound the wise.
God has chosen the foolish what?
Things.
Things in the
world. Of the
world. To confound the wise.
And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
We need God's wisdom. Help me to be foolish enough to know I can't do nothing of myself.
Right.
My sufficiency is in God. And when I come up here, while I'm sitting in that chair, I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, I need you to help me. Because I want to speak your words. I don't want to say anything Abraham think. What I think can't help you. Help me to realize I'm foolish. I need God's wisdom. I'm weak. I need his strength. Paul said, for when I am weak,
then am I strong.
Then am I strong. Why? Because I'm trusting in God's strength.
That's right.
Come on, read, brother.
And base things of the world.
Base.
And things which are despised have
things
God chosen.
Things that are despised. People may look down on you. People
right.
might deal with you. Even sometimes loved ones, they act like you don't have any sense, as it were. But stay humble. Mm-hmm. Because God has chosen to base things. Things that are despised. Go on.
Have God chosen, yea, and things which are not. To bring to naught things
that
are.
Things that are not. Are you trying to be something when you are nothing? We're nothing.
That's right.
One scripture say we're less than nothing.
True.
All the nations is less than nothing and as a drop in a bucket.
True.
Now you figure that out. All the nations, we're less than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But God chose us out of all the millions,
God
he chose
help.
Us to be saved. Now when, was it Peter was on the Mount of Transfiguration?
Right.
And he said, well, it's good for me to be here.
Uh-huh.
Do you have that type of attitude? It's good for you to be here? You got the answer?
Woo.
You know what to do. When you know what to do, when you got it all figured out, God's just gonna stand back and let you handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And when it all falls on your face, now you want to ask for help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True.
How many times do we get calls where people don't take counsel
mm.
and they call after the fact when things have gotten such a mess and you can hardly help them straighten it out? Our children do that too. Come on. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't make that. Well, I'm grown and this is what I'm. Then they mess up and here they come. Let's not do that.
Right.
Come on.
That no flesh should glory in his presence.
God don't want flesh
Try.
To get the glory. I know it sounds simplistic, but I'm trying to make a point here. We got to see ourselves the way God sees us so we can get the help we need.
Mm-hmm.
So we can come boldly to the throne of grace, to obtain mercy, and find grace to help us in the time of need. But it's the quality and the intent of our heart and how we come to God. to determine whether he's going to help me with my problems.
Amen. True.
Sometimes God will leave me right in that test so I can get broken real good.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And when I'm broken and I really humble myself and see I don't have the answer, if God don't help me, if he don't deliver me, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this mess. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I'm going to straighten this problem up in the home, how I'm going to deal with this issue on the job.
True.
Genesis 13. We want to deal with Abraham. He's a good example of being easily entreated. Now, this Naylor, he says, one of the greatest problems that ministers meet, and one that requires the most patience and wisdom, is the problem of settling personal difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
These difficulties are often found existing between the saints,
right,
those that profess to know God. And sometimes they are very hard to get settled.
True.
There is just one reason for this. Those involved are not easy to be entreated. Let's look at Abraham and Lot.
Genesis 13:1.
And we're going to start reading at the first verse, 1 through 11.
And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, in between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and a Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will take the left. I pray thee from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of Egypt, even like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And Abram dwelled.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
Pardon me?
Thank you. That's good.
Man.
Getting caught up in that story, huh? But God was with Abraham.
Right.
And God blessed him.
Right.
And many times we think because God is with us and God is blessing us,
mm-hmm,
we shouldn't have no problems.
Oh, yes. Wrong.
And we get a little irritated when we have a test. We forget that Jesus said, in the world, you should have tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
Right.
Now, it's the devil's job to tempt us and to bring about trials so our faith can be tested.
Right.
God created the devil for that purpose.
Right.
He's not no little red man with a pitchfork and a tail. You all know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spirit. And he's trying to hinder, to kill, to steal, and to destroy.
Yes, he is.
That's the devil's job.
Right.
Amen. So here we have a problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Abraham is minding his own business. Lot is doing his own thing. And God is prospering.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times with prosperity comes problems.
Right. True.
The herdsmen couldn't get along. Strife or contention,
mm-hmm,
began. Mm-hmm. Abraham noticed a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And he said,
to Lot.
Let there be no strife.
Let there be no strife. Mm-hmm. I pray thee between me and thee.
That's right.
Between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen. We be brother.
Amen. True.
Now, if we look in that third chapter, we see that where there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work.
True.
Do we want to be a part of evil work?
No.
Do we want to be a part of that wisdom that comes from the earth?
No.
That's earthly, sensual, and devilish?
No.
So we don't have no room for strife. We have no room for contention.
That's right.
In our life.
Absolutely.
The wisdom from above is first pure and peaceable.
Peaceable, right.
And gentle.
That's right.
And full of mercy. Now we're going to see some of these qualities and attributes in Abraham. Now, God called Abraham from Ur.
That's right.
Lot followed him.
That's right.
Lot partook of the blessings of God toward Abraham.
True.
Because when you're with a man of God, just like you all been blessed because of this man, you're partaking of God's blessing and anointing as long as you stay faithful to the message and be faithful to your pastor.
That's right.
God's going to bless you.
True.
He's going to prosper you. He said it.
True.
And Lot was being blessed. Herds were growing. Things were looking good. But a problem occurred.
Right.
What do we see in Abraham? We hear nothing about what Lot decided or took upon himself to say or do. But we see Abraham saying, let there be no strife between me and thee.
Beautiful.
You know, I've found that children can cause a lot of problems in families. Children. That's why we have to be delivered from our children. I've seen big old fights break out because somebody was taken up for their child. Find out what happened. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good.
Try.
Don't judge by the eyes or the ears, but judge with righteous judgment and equity, because what you see is not always the right thing.
Try.
What you hear might not be the right thing.
True.
Investigate. Check it out. There's always two sides to a problem.
True.
Listen to both sides before you come to a conclusion. We have that same problem here in the church among ministers. People they get so caught up in their best friend that whatever they tell them is the truth.
True, true.
You know, Brother Decker did such a, he did. Now I'm looking at Brother Decker cross-eyed. Ain't even talk to him.
Try.
That shouldn't be.
That happens. That happens. True.
Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good.
Try.
Abraham humbled himself. Right. He said, if you take the left, I'll take the right.
Try.
He was the leader. God sent him. He didn't have to do that. How many times we defend our right because we have a right? Come on now. I'm in charge. Sometimes we have to make a sacrifice. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his right.
Amen.
To choose, because it was his sojourn. God called him. He was looking for a city that had foundation, whose building maker was God. God sent him, not Lot. But he said, if you take the east, left, I'll take the right. What did he say?
And there, okay, excuse me. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart the right hand, then I go to the left.
I'll go to the left. He preferred his neighbor.
That's right.
His brother. He took the humble side. He sacrificed his right to make the first choice.
Right.
because he wanted peace. He wanted harmony. Mm-hmm. And he did not want contention. He did not want to give no place to the devil.
Amen.
How many times do we give place to the devil because it's my right? Mm-hmm.
God help.
Lord, help me to be like Abraham.
Amen.
Look past my needs. But for peace sake, for harmony's sake, for unity's sake, I'll take the humble side, whatever you want. But God blessed him.
True.
He took the humble side. Mm-hmm. And there's Lot looking out on the land. He chose the best land. The land that resembled a garden. But all that glitter ain't gold. Hello.
Try it.
Better pray. Mm-hmm. He should have paused and says, no, Uncle Abraham. You give me what you don't want.
That's right.
See, when you have a conflict, it should be both humility in both.
Right.
But if there's not humility in both, you be humble. So many times we make the mistake of looking at what this person is supposed to do. You better look at yourself. You want to keep the favor of God. You want to keep that wisdom from above coming in the presence of God in your life. Have you ever got a call at 2 or 3 in the morning? Mm-hmm. You don't want those kind of calls. Dad, I was in an accident. Dad, I'm in the hospital. Can you get a prayer through? Are you in bed mad? Did you let the sun go down on your wrath? Is strife still between you and someone? Mm-hmm. You don't want those calls. You may not have time to say, I'm sorry. We want to keep our hearts clear. And I cannot say this enough. That's how we get the blessings flowing. That's how we get that renewal and that refreshing that comes from the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Lot looked at the best, but he chose the worst. Mm-hmm. Because he pitched his tent
toward Sodom. Right.
And we know what happened in Sodom.
That's right.
And Gomorrah and the cities of the plains. It was well watered. It was the most fertile land. But like I said, everything that looked good ain't good.
True.
You want God to make your choices. I know I do.
True.
And I want to err on the side of taking the humble side and doing what's right. Whether I lose the good land.
That's right.
Whether I lose the well-guarded, the well-watered garden.
That's right. Amen.
Whether I'm stuck with the worst, I'll do it for Jesus. I'll make the sacrifice for peace and harmony.
True.
For a home free of conflict. Another problem may come, but if you use the same principle. Now, the scripture says, and these are very known scriptures, be slow to speak, swift to hear, and slow to wrath. But a lot of times it's reversed. It's swift to speak, slow to hear, and swift to wrath.
Right.
With wrath cometh contention. We got to ask God to help me to keep my temper in check. Help me to keep my mouth closed.
Amen.
And listen. Many times what we call is listening is formulating a rebuttal. Because we're on the defense and we're formulating that rebuttal while that person is talking, we're not even listening. But we got to ask God, help us to listen.
Try.
Paul and Barnabas, they had contention and they was doing the work of God. They were on a missionary journey. Mm-hmm. And it happened because of John Mark.
Try.
And they had to separate. I believe they did it in the right spirit. They did it in the right spirit.
And later on, God was used John Mark to work with Paul.
Try.
He said, "Sin, I have use of him." Mm-hmm. But it's not having the problem, it's how you deal with it.
Try.
It's how you deal with problems. Now, it says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." How do I answer? There is that kindness, that gentleness. First pure, then peaceable, then gentle, full of mercy.
Amen.
Easy to be entreated.
Amen.
Am I on the defense? Now, we don't want to let nothing get in our heart, because as we said earlier, it's hard to win an offended man.
That's right, Bible says
and
so.
And when you get something in your heart and you're holding somebody, no matter what they say or what they do to you, you got your dukes up. You got your defense up.
Right, right.
Forgive.
Amen.
And if you know you've offended someone, if you know you caused an offense, the word of God say, cause no offense to the Gentiles, neither to the church of God. Repent. Humble yourself. Apologize.
True.
Don't say, if I offended you, when you know you offended them. You know, that's nothing worse than hear a half apology.
Try it.
That person know you're not sincere. I'm sorry, honey. I was wrong. Have you ever thought you knew something? You were so sure you was right and you were wrong? I think it was recently I did that. I just knew my wife had moved something I had. I said, "No, you moved it." "No, I did not." I said, "You moved it." I got in the car, there it was. I came and I was wrong, you was right, I moved it. You forgive me. Some people think having to say you're sorry is gonna take something from your spirituality. They're wrong.
Try.
It shows that you are spiritual. But when you know you're wrong and your pride won't let you humble yourself and acknowledge, "I was wrong, forgive me," we know you're in spiritual trouble. And you're lacking in that easy to be entreated quality. Because as much as we like to be right all the time, we are not.
True.
We're not. We're human.
Right.
You're not perfect. You're free from sin, but you're not perfect. Am I easily to be entreated? When the pastor have to talk to me, there's an issue, and he lets me know you shouldn't handle it this way. Do you have a rebuttal? Do you have a reason why it should be that way? Do we have to hog tie you? Y'all know what that is, don't you? You know how they had the hog tie, and they tie, get that hog on the ground and tie the front legs with the back leg. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Sessions. Some of us got to be hog tied. And to admit we're wrong, we just got to be hog tied. Bound up so tight, we got to put the word there, put the word there, put the word there, remind you what you said, show you here, show you there, and then sometimes you might admit it. Hello.
Right.
You really got a problem. Right. Been all hog-tied and you still won't say uncle.
True.
That's a bad way to be. Abraham was tender-hearted.
He was.
He wanted to please God. He didn't care about his prosperity. He wasn't just trying to kick Lot out, but he wanted peace.
Try it.
And God gave him wisdom. The land wasn't big enough for them to continue to travel together. Sometimes we have to face the facts.
Try it.
Why are you going to make something work when it ain't going to work? You just asking for problems. Mm-hmm. You see it ain't working. You heard that, also? Back to the drawing board, huh? You need to pray. Lord, what should we do? This is not working. Get some counsel. Get some advice. Call the pastor.
Amen.
This is not working.
True.
God gave him wisdom. He quickened him of his humility and humbleness. I believe he prayed. He acknowledged God, and God told him how to work this problem out.
True.
He was self-sacrificing. He wanted to be fair with Lot. He was just. He was reasonable. He was kind. Is that the quality that I have?
God help.
Am I easily in being treated? We wouldn't have all the problems in the church if we all were easy to be entreated.
Very good.
The pastor wouldn't have so many problems to deal with. The service in the church, business, and the things of God will run smoothly because we're easily to be entreated. Any little hiccup, we'll be able to solve it and keep on moving.
Mm-hmm.
But we got a devil that we got to contend with. And
true.
Some of us are not working out our salvation like we need. He said in a great house, there are not only vessels of honor, but vessels of dishonor.
Try.
And if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto good work. Where are you at? Where am I? Am I that vessel of honor or that vessel of dishonor? If I'm that vessel of dishonor, God is not going to be able to work. I'm going to be a hindrance. I got to get down to business.
True.
I got to do some cleaning, some house cleaning. I got to take some inventory.
Right. Right.
I got to check myself.
Right.
Some of us see our faults and we justify them. And they're hindering.
Try it.
Now, we read Ezra yesterday, and I want to talk about Ezra a little bit. Could you go to the 10th chapter? Ezra was burdened. The people had sinned. And they did the same thing that caused them to be captured and sold away into slavery.
Mm-hmm.
But Ezra knew that God had given them a little space.
Mm-hmm.
And Ezra wanted this thing to work, the rebuilding of the temple, the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the rebuilding of the walls, him and Nehemiah. They wanted it to work. And they knew some serious judgment had to be executed. But I want you to see how the people took it. Could you read Ezra 10? That's a little reading, but bear with me.
Now when Ezra had prayed.
1 through 14 if you can.
Verse 14?
1 through 14.
Okay. Now when Ezra had prayed, when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children. For the people wept very sore.
They wept very sore.
And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel.
Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel.
One of the sons of Elam, answered unto Ezra, we have transgressed.
Acknowledge.
Right. Right.
They were accountable.
Right.
Isn't that what David did to get himself straightened up when he sinned with Bathsheba? He was blind. Sin will blind you. Having your way will blind you too. It's a lot of people helping out, brother. A lot of people get blinded by going their way.
Try.
There's a way that seemeth right to all men, and the end thereof is death. You can't have your way, I can't have my way in this salvation. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the light.
Right.
We can't have our way.
No.
Ourself and our taking up for ourselves and being self-will causes problems in my life, in my home, and in the church.
Right.
Some people are so sweet and nice as long as everything going their way. But oh, when you cross them, is that the same person? Old dragon then came out.
Right.
Yeah, I'm nice as long as you're doing it my way. You know, some people say my way or the highway. We don't say that, do we, saints?
No.
Because I don't want my way. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Right.
Come on.
We have trespassed against our God.
I'm accountable. We have trespassed. We married these Gentile women. The women that you told us not to. They have polluted the land with their idolatries. The land was wicked.
Drive.
These tribes you said drive out. Right. Now I have an affinity with them. I'm connected with them. I have married into them. Go on.
We have trespassed against our God and have taken strange wives, the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born of them according to the counsel of my Lord. Now those that tremble at the commandment of our God, let it be done according to the law.
Those that tremble. Do you tremble at the word of God?
God help us.
Do you want to do what God wanted you to
Amen.
Do?
Amen. True.
Or are you set? You're going to have your way. Come on, brother.
Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Then arose Ezra and made the chief priests of the Levites and of all Israel to swear that they should do according to this word. And they swear.
They swear. We're going to do whatever you say, Ezra. They saw his burden. He had a burden for the church.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the pastor, the ministry has a burden. Do we enter into that burden? Do we take heed to what is being said to us? We got some good instruction today.
Try.
Did we take heed? Are we going to follow it?
God help us.
What the pastor said.
Mm-hmm.
And are we going to make sure everybody else is following it if we see they're not? I'm not talking about being a busybody.
No.
But if you just see somebody openly disobeying, you need to expose them. The devil loves to hide.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no neutrality in the church of God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm neutral. I don't have anything to do with it. They heard what the pastor said just like I did. Reem, pastor, Brother Stegmaier did not do what you told him. I just want to let you know I'll be praying. Bye.
Yeah, right.
Let me tell you something. It's not even a matter of what the issue is. God look at our obedience.
Right. True.
He look at our respect.
Our bottom line.
He look at how we are respecting the man of God.
That's right.
How are we respecting the man of God?
True, true,
now,
true.
Now these people out in Babylon, boy, they lift these preachers up so high. They give them their money. They give them, they do whatever they tell them to do. Then we come to the church of God. No, we're not a cult.
Right.
But God says, obey them that have the rule over you.
Right.
Submit
True.
Yourselves, for they watch for your soul. We're not asking you to do anything unsightly, ungodly.
No.
Or extreme.
No.
We're just asking you to obey the Bible.
That's right, exactly.
And some of us have a hard time doing that. You may have been messed up in Babylon. Somebody may have abused you spiritually and took advantage of you.
Uh-huh.
But they're not doing that here.
Right. True.
So don't you bring that abusive spirit in here and not wanting to treat the ministry right because you want to check them out and make sure they do what's right. You can't make them do what's right. You do your part, God will take care of them.
That's right, true.
You know, that old policing spirit. God don't need you to police nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Want to make yourself a standard? What you think the word and the spirit is for?
That's right.
They do the policing all the time.
That's
and if we don't hear the spirit of God and the word of God as it come forth, we sure ain't going to hear you. End of like those men trying to cast out devils. Was it the sons of Sceva? And they tore them up.
Try. Sure
Let's
did.
Not do nothing in self. Let's obey God. Come on.
Then Ezra rose from before the house of God and went in the chamber of Jehohanan, the son of Elisha. And when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. And they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem and all the children of the captivity that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem, that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together in Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 9th month, on the 20th day of the month, And all the people sat in the street of the house of God trembling because
of this
matter. Here
they are trembling again in the rain.
Right.
Wanting to get things straightened out.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
And for the great rain. And Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, ye have transgressed.
Ezra said, you've transgressed.
And taken strange wives.
You've taken strange wives.
To increase the trespass.
And you've increased the trespass.
Right. Now therefore make confession.
Make confession.
Unto the Lord.
Unto the Lord.
God of your fathers. And do his pleasure.
Do his pleasure.
And separate yourselves from the people of the land.
And separate yourselves.
And from the strange wives.
In the 12th verse.
Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast
as
said,
thou
so,
have said,
so must we do.
So must we do. Do we have that testimony?
Amen. God help us.
When God used the man of God to lay down the law,
mm-hmm.
all that you say we will do.
Amen.
I'm the man. I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we hear the word of God, it be coming fast and heavy, and we just measuring up in our seats. We're just, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, I see my, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. Because I want to make it.
Amen. True,
I wanna make it.
True, true, true.
They were
true.
Determined they were going to carry it out
mm-hmm.
because they had a little space. The king of Persia has given them an opportunity, and the whole nation was dependent on them.
That's right.
And they did not want to blow it. They started this thing off on the wrong foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God for the man of God that says, oh, okay, hold it. Hold up now. We ain't doing this right. Mm-hmm. You know how you sing a song and you're off key and somebody with some good musical sense says, stop. Stop. Let's start over.
Right.
Sometimes spiritually we need to just stop. We're off key. We're not in harmony.
Right.
Thank God for the man of God. Come on.
But the people are many, and it is time of much rain. We're not able to stand without. Neither is this a work of one day or two. For we are many that have transgressed in this thing. Let now our rulers of all the congregation stand, that all of them which have taken strange wives in our cities come at appointed times, with them the elders of every city and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of
they
God for this matter
be. They were going to let those judges handle it. They were helping Ezra reprove themselves.
Amen.
When someone corrects you, do you help them? Or are you fighting against them?
Mm.
Now we know in the scripture, and I believe that's 1 Timothy 3:14-17. And it says that all scripture.
1 Timothy 3:14.
2 Timothy, I'm sorry.
2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou the thing.
Yeah, start that. Read to the 17th verse.
But continue thou in the things thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and have been
right.
assured of knowing of whom thou have learned them.
That's right.
We got a good pastor. We're confident he's God's man. We want to take in the teaching, and we're going to want to continue in it.
Amen.
Holding fast the faithful word as we've been taught.
True.
That is our protection.
Right.
That is how we develop spiritually.
Right. Very true.
Very and true. That from a child, Timothy, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, all scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Not some, all scripture.
Right.
Is given by inspiration
good.
Of
very
God.
Very good, very
and
good.
If we take it in and let it do its work in our hearts, it'll be profitable to us.
True.
It'll help us in doctrine. It'll help us if we listen.
Mm-hmm.
So many people don't sit here long enough to get indoctrinated in the truth.
That's right.
And they're unstable.
That's right.
They're wishy-washy. True. Their head is like a doorknob. Anybody, any teaching can come and affect them.
Right.
We want to get strong in the Lord. We want to sit in this under this teaching and take it in.
Right.
Sometimes you don't need to be going everywhere. You need to sit still for a while.
Woo. True.
And get indoctrinated in the truth.
True.
That don't make you spiritual going everywhere. It takes time to live holy.
Try it.
You got to let this word seep into you. Let it come like a slow rain.
Try it.
Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little.
True.
God has given the ministry for our perfection, to establish us, to teach us how to live holy, how to conduct ourselves, how to deal with any problem.
True.
Christ said, amen, upon this church, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them.
That's right.
Very good. We will be invincible if we are doing what God wants
us
to do by letting this word of God enter into our hearts, taking it in, being open, being humble. So when the word of God come my way and reprove me, I can take it. Because it's for reproof.
True.
When the word of God come my way and correct me, I can take it.
True.
Instruct me in righteousness, I can take it.
Amen.
Because that's what it's for. Amen.
Very good.
That the man of God may be perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let me tell you something. We thank God for the church of God.
Amen.
But let's go over to the 13th chapter of Hebrews. God showed me this some time ago. This ain't in my notes, but it just come to my mind. I just want to share it with you.
Hebrews 13 and?
Give me a minute. Okay. 10 through 14.
We have an altar.
We have an altar.
We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat,
where they have no right to
serve the tabernacle.
Serve the tabernacle.
For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate.
He suffered without the gate.
Let us go therefore unto him without the camp.
How are you going to go without the camp? And you're not taking in this teaching. You're not letting the man of God establish you. Mm-hmm. You're not being consistent in your experience. Mm-hmm. You're not getting before God and measuring up and doing the things that God wants you to do. That little still small voice as the Spirit of God speaks to your heart. Looking away from everybody else. Looking away from that who's close to you. And getting this thing for yourself.
Right.
The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
That's right.
Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. Who are you looking to? Yeah, we need to get our eyes off people. Stop worrying about what this man gonna do. Ain't that what Peter said? What is this man gonna do? Amen. The Lord said, Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep.
Right.
Feed my land. What is John going to do? He said, what is that to you? Follow thou me. Yeah. Are you following him? When God started us off, he started us with a mind and a determination to live for God and go to heaven and be all that we can be.
Right.
Who hindered you? When you get married, this ain't no joint effort. It's still that individual effort.
True.
You got to look away from your wife and your husband.
True.
And be sold out to God.
Why
do you think Paul discouraged people a little bit from getting married? He's not, though. Some people got married. Hello. Right. It's better married than burned.
Try.
But he that is married care for the things of this world.
Try.
How he may please his spouse. Huh? But the unmarried,
He said, I tell you not to get married because I want you to attend unto the Lord without distraction. But there's right. gonna come a time when those that be married, it's gotta be as those that are not.
Try it.
Are you sold out to God? Whatever you say, Lord, I will do. Wherever you want me to go, I will go.
True. Right.
It's an individual thing.
That's right.
It's an individual walk.
Absolutely.
Are you able to go without the camp bearing his reproach? Read on.
For here have we no continuing city.
This ain't heaven. We ain't got it made. We ain't made home.
But we this see ain't one heaven. To this come. Is, right.
Praise God for the church of God. The saints at Newark, we have a glorious time, but we don't have it made.
No. No.
And there's still a work to do. I cannot be idle, for Jesus says go and work in my harvest today. And then at the evening when labor is done, whatever is right, I will pay. Then away to the work I will go.
True, true.
Is that your testimony?
True. Yes. Amen.
You got to go out the camp. How are you going to go without the camp and you ain't been perfected? You ain't taking in this teaching. The church can't perfect itself. One thing about it, when we got saved, God started us out with a desire right. to right. eat the word of God, didn't he?
Right.
He said, as newborn babes, desire sincere milk of the word that grow. You may grow thereby.
Right.
Now, I've had 5 children. I don't know how many you had, but you know when that little baby comes out, you don't have to teach him how to want to get some milk now.
No.
Because it's instinctual. They're just...
Right.
My little new grandbaby, he's about 3 months old. He sticks his little tongue out. He looks for it with his little tongue. That's right. a boy I ain't never seen that. But you all know what I'm talking about. You know, right. I teach him how to, if that baby don't have that instinct to want to drink and nurse from mama, right. that baby ain't going to make it.
Right.
Come on now.
True.
Huh.
True.
You know how God started us out. Didn't nobody have to force you to be in the service.
No.
Didn't nobody have to tell you to bring your Bible.
Right.
Didn't nobody have to tell you to be a part of it. We want to sit in the front seat.
Right.
We didn't want to miss nothing.
Right.
How you doing?
Same.
Praise the Lord.
Then change your seat, you're in the back now, huh? What didn't happen? The devil slapped you. God starts off right. It's up to me to maintain it. I need to go without the camp. After I done got fitted, I'm not talking about go out and try to start your own church. I need to be ready to give an answer of the reason of the hope that lieth in my soul.
Right.
I need to be able to tell somebody about Jesus and let them know where they need to come. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Come on.
Right.
What's that scripture? Is that Isaiah 2nd chapter? I won't. Just bear with me. Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm slow. I'm trying to use technology. I think I better go back to the old path.
Isaiah 2 and...
Start at the first verse. 2 and 1.
The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass the last days.
In the last days.
The mountain of the Lord's house.
Mountain of the Lord's house.
Shall be established at the top of the mountain.
Shall be established on top of the mountain.
And shall be exalted above the hills.
Exalted above Babylon.
And all above the hills. Nations.
All nations shall flow unto it.
And many people shall go and say, come ye.
Come ye.
Let us go up to the
let us go up to the mountain of the Lord's house.
The house of the God of Jacob.
The house of the God of Jacob.
He will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his path.
We got to go without the camp. Let us go.
That's right.
We want to encourage people to be saved.
That's right.
We want to get strong so we can be a light.
Right.
And so we can direct people where they need to hear the truth.
Right.
I ain't talking about no independent spirit.
No.
I'm talking about being a help to this ministry.
Amen.
to the house of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Right.
Come to the church of God.
Right, absolutely. Amen.
We need to be able to go without the camp. You got to wait for a street meeting or a track meeting to be called, or a cottage meet. Or do they still have that?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You can be at a coffee shop, go Try without it. The camp. You can be at the grocery store, go without the camp.
Mm-hmm.
You can be going to work, coming home, or on your break, but not on that man's time. Hello.
Yes.
When you work, you should be working. But when you got some of your own time, then share without the camp. Let people know where you can get saved and hear the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Abraham was easily entreated by God and did that which God wanted him to do.
Try.
And it was grievous to him. You know what he did? He put out the bondwoman and his child. 21 Genesis. Just want to show you. You know, we got to be easily entreated. We got to love God and obey God. So when God shares something with us, when he tells us something, when he instructs us, we'll be able to do it. It may be hard. It may be grievous, but we want to be easy and treated. You got it? Genesis 21.
I got it. 21 what? 21 what?
Verse 1. I want to put some shortening in this.
And the Lord visited Sarah,
mm-hmm.
and as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him.
Skip to the 9th verse.
And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman, and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman in all that Sarah has said unto thee. Hark unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed.
Thank you. It was grievous. But I'm going to tell you something. I was taught this. We're saved till we get the next message. And whether that message be over the pulpit,
right,
or at home as God talked to your heart, mm-hmm. and sometime God will remind you, husbands, listen to your wives.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he'll remind you, wives, listen to your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Will we have a heart and a willingness to obey God and stay with that heartfelt quality of being easily entreated.
That's right. Beautiful. Beautiful.
It hurt him to put out his son. It was, I believe, Sarah's idea. But God said, put out the bondwoman and her son. Sarah gave good advice.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham had to obey. In Hebrews 12, chapter 5 through 11, the Bible talks about chastening. Many times God chastens us. He chastens us as sons.
Try.
Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
Try.
If we be without chastisement, then are we bastards.
Try.
Not sons. We need the chastening of the Lord.
True.
We need God to correct us. Sometimes God opens up our understanding when we're in a disagreement or some difficulty. We don't understand it, but we humble ourselves, set it aside, submit it, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God, and we go back and pray about it and seek God about it.
True.
And God will speak to our heart, just like he spoke to Abraham and said, listen, she was right. I'll never forget. After I finished law school, I worked for General Motors for many years, but I never liked my job. It was assembly work. It was redundant and repetitive. And after a while, you think a monkey could do it, you know, because you're doing the same thing in the same part. And so many people on those type of blue-collar type jobs, their mind is idle and the devil works havoc. They just want to entertain themselves with one another, and it's just a place of sin and foolishness.
Right.
And being saved, I was tired. It vexed me. So I went to school. I was laid off and they paid for my education. I was able to go to school and get paid for it. It was a blessing. I was able to continue in my education. I was able to do very well, get scholarships. Half of my law school was paid for. And me and my wife had made an agreement that when I finished, I could quit. And so I had purpose in my heart, I was gonna quit my job. I got my law degree 6 months earlier. I was in a 4-month program, I was getting a master's and a law degree. I finished 6 months early while working 10 hours. Don't ask me how I did it, I know it was just God. And still stay saved and still work with the saints. And when I quit, I mean when I got done with school, I reminded my wife, remember, we said I can quit General Motors. My wife said, you're not quitting General Motors. We got children in college and children in high school. I said, that's not what we agreed on. And I'm getting rid of General Motors. And it looked like people, God would send different supervisors, because I always did Rule 13 where you, and did internships with my law school, so I worked in different places, and I was at EEOC. And he says, Abraham, whatever you do, don't quit your job. I didn't want to hear that. He said, because you can write your own ticket. You'll have your pension, and then you can practice whatever law you want. And my wife says, you're not quitting that job. And I said, well, that's not what we agreed on, but I submitted it and prayed. And the Spirit of God say, you're not quitting that job. Everybody knew I was out of there. But my old pride had to go back and hit that clock and obey the Spirit of God and go back on that job. And the devil was waiting on me. I thought you had a law degree. What you doing here? And I just took it. Oh, it was hard. It was grievous. But I wanted to stay safe. And I obeyed God. Brother and I walked at break a mile. And I walked 2 miles at lunch. And I walked at home to relieve the pressure and pray while I was walking. Lord, help me, Jesus. Help me. Help me, Lord. Because the devil was talking in my mind, you don't have to be here. You got a law degree. But I knew a law degree didn't mean nothing if God wasn't with me.
That's right.
And I wanted God with me.
True.
When God said you got to obey, you have to obey.
Right.
One of my sons was born 2 months early. He was premature. And he was born with epilepsy. And we had trusted God for his seizures for about 14 years. And he was having them. They would change when he went to puberty, when he went to a transition to another stage of life. They changed. And so Pastor Gordon said, I believe they're trying to set up a case against you to take that child. You need to let them give him medicine. I said, well, Pastor, because he was in school and having seizures in school. So I learned the hard way about obeying my pastor about stuff like that. The law had changed in Illinois. And you couldn't just sign yourself out of the hospital like you used to. And this boy had had a seizure when he was young. I'm not trying to go off the story, but I want to make it clear, you got to obey your pastor. He said, Brother Abraham, don't sign that child out. He was about 6 months and had a seizure. I'm trusting God. He said, Brother Abraham, leave that baby there. I said, take this stuff off my baby. Disobedient to the council. I'm gonna walk this baby out. The police, they called the police and they literally carried me out of the emergency room to jail. Oh, I went to jail for Jesus. No, I didn't. I went to jail disobeying my pastor. But it just so happened the chief of police had had a sick child, and he had pity on me. And he said, these people need to explain to this man what's going on. Get him out of my jail. Take him back to the hospital. So I wasn't going to make that mistake no more. They took custody of my child, put him in the hospital. Pastor Gordon said, don't go to court. We stayed at that hospital taking care of that baby. He said, those people are going to twist your words. I obeyed them, Brother Decker. And they said, unfounded, and dismissed the case. So here's this same child. And Brother Gordon said, let them. I said, Pastor, if they want to give him some, I just want them to know what's wrong with them. Instead of just, you know, a lot of times when children are epileptic, they give them that phenobarbital, at least they used to, and it makes them very belligerent, and they can't learn and stuff. And we wanted him to be as normal as possible. So we just, God helped us to deal with the seizures. So here, bringing you up to date, he's 25, working in corporate America, and the seizures then changed again. And he had a seizure at work in the bathroom. He could have killed himself on that porcelain. God show mercy, somebody walked in there. Praise God. I want to quit my job. I always kept him on my insurance, even though he worked, because of his problem, his disability. And he worked like a normal person, treated him. Those seizures changed. Sometimes he would have a seizure on the steps. Thank God I was able to catch him. Sometimes we would find him unconscious. He was having seizures. No medicine could control it. We needed God to step in. We had to take him to work. He couldn't drive no more. Thank God he got saved. And God was able to help him.
Amen.
And saints, I was so glad I didn't quit my job. Because he had to come off that job. And the Lord finally let me retire the same year.
Amen.
And I kept him on my insurance. And he had to have brain surgery. His seizure was one that could be operated on. My wife says, you don't want them touching your brain. Trust God. I says, honey, stay out of this. That's his decision. I said, you pray. He was a single person. I said, you may not want to get married one day. You want to make the right decision. Because you don't want no regrets no matter what happened. I will be praying for you. We don't force people to trust God.
No.
Because God can work in many ways far beyond our understanding. And this young man said, God have given me the assurance, Dad, I'm going to let them do the surgery. Had I quit, we would not have had insurance to cover him. He was turning 25 that year. Or he had turned 25, but they wait to the end of the year before they take you off the insurance. He had surgery in November. I was so glad I waited and obeyed God. You never know why God is telling you to do something. And you might not, you know that song we used to sing, by and by we'll know all about it. By and by we'll understand why I cheered my brother living in the sunshine. I knew that to be true. And he believed God. He had such an assurance that God was going to heal him. And I tell you, it was just amazing. I never seen God work that way, but God manifested himself tremendously. He went to the hospital acting as if he was there for someone else. He asked the doctor, what kind of instrument are you going to use on my head? He had just that much of peace and that much of assurance that God was going to take care of him. And I'm like, Jonathan, be quiet. The doctor said, is he okay? I said, as long as he's talking, he's okay. I said, you have the victory. I don't have it. Let's not talk about that.
Amen.
They went into his head, operated on his seizures. And God, we prayed, the church prayed. And once we were able to go in there, we were wondering, was he himself? Was everything okay? Jonathan, are you coming? My wife went in there, we're on the phone, talking to someone. He says, Mom, get out of here, you're too loud, I have a headache. I said, praise God, that's all I want to know. God healed him. 2006, he has not had a seizure since. God guided their hands. I can't tell you how he did it, but he guided their hands.
Amen.
And I'm gonna tell you something. One of our wife's co-worker's daughter had the same condition, the same surgery, and still have problems today and still epileptic. God manifested himself. I was so glad I obeyed God.
Amen.
I listened to my wife. I was easily to be entreated. After hearing the word of God, hearing what God had to say to me, I humbled myself. And I was so glad I obeyed God.
Amen.
Because he got the help that he may not have gotten had I not obeyed God. I'm going to stop here. God healed that young man.
Amen.
He got married. He's been married over 9 years. They just got a baby. Haven't had a seizure in 10 years.
Amen.
Not one seizure. They don't want you to get off the medicine because they've been on it so long. They want you to ease off. He eased on down and off. He don't take nothing. God healed him. I can't explain to you, but I know it was God, because nobody, most people that have that surgery still have problems. He have not had one problem. To God be the glory. We're going to stop here, Pastor.